turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's where our text is for today. And we'll be reading the first seven verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So when you find that, if you're able to stand, would you stand? I want to read God's word in your hearing. Then ask God's blessing on our time together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Reads this way. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And finally, verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we need your help to see and understand what you're saying to your people.
Yes.
Speak clearly now, Lord. Your people listen. Pray that you would use even this feeble servant to speak for you. Speak through me for your own glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Every saint of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Now you might remember that last week we looked at Romans chapter 12, the first five verses. And as we looked at Romans 12, these first five verses, we wanted to kind of hinge our thoughts around these two main considerations. We, first of all, were thinking about what Jesus has done for us. The things we could see that Jesus has done for us in these five verses, right? Mm-hmm. The first verse talks about the mercies of God, right? The mercies of God. And these are all of God's acts of goodness toward us when we've been in trouble. And so Paul says that in his mercy, God helped us in our troubles throughout life. We thank him for that. And then he says in verse 2 that we are to consider the will of God, right? We're not to be pressured by this world to think like the world. We want to think God's thoughts. Amen. So we consider God's will. And so he says, remember that God has chosen to reveal his will to us. That's a great blessing. We're not in a fog. We're not groping around to try to find out what God wants us to do. He's made his will known, right? We're blessed. Amen. Then he says in verse 3, it's by grace, you see, that we have what we have. Grace, these gifts and these abilities that we have were given to us by grace, right? And so he says, grace then ought to cause us to remember that God gave us blessing rather than the punishments we deserve.
Amen.
Grace means we did not get what we deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many times that people think they want what you deserve. I've heard people say that. None of us really want what we deserve.
Amen.
We think we want certain things, mm-hmm. but thanks be to God, he does not give us what we deserve.
Amen.
And then finally in verses 4 and 5, talks to us about the great blessing of being members in Christ and members one of another. So we have been joined to Christ and joined to each other, right? These are the things that Jesus has done for us. And then the other side of that I wanted us to think about is the reverse, right? Then I said we need to think about what we must do for Jesus,
mm-hmm.
right? This is not just a one-way street here, mm-hmm. you see. That's like the Dead Sea. You know the reason that the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea. Water flows in and never
flows out, so you've got this sediment and all this buildup of deadly toxins. I mean, some of them are beneficial, but you've got the problem is that it's so much salt built up, the things die because there's no outflow. So we want to think about what we must do for Jesus, since he's done so much for us. We go back to those same fine verses, and then Paul would say, you consider the mercies of God, then you ought to willingly make your bodies available to God for sacrificial service.
Amen.
Don't complain about what he calls you to do. You ought to be willing to do anything God calls you to because his mercies brought you out of your mess.
Amen.
Right? The mercies of God make us willing to serve him. Verse 2, when you go back over verse 2 then, after you think about the fact that God has made his will known to you, then we should fill our minds with his will. Since he says, here is what I want you to know and do, we ought to say, yes, Lord, give me more. Right? Fill my mind. I don't want to hear what Oprah has to say and this one has to say and that one has to say. I want to know what God has to say about this.
Amen.
You see, that's so. Do not be conformed to the world. You know, I'm not being critical of Oprah. That was just an analogy. But there's just too many people, too many Christians take their cues from talk show hosts. You see? Thirdly, he says that because of grace, in other words, everything I have I know was given to me. I didn't earn it. Right, Christian? I didn't earn it.
Amen.
I didn't earn it, so I know it was given to me because God is good. So then we must not have exaggerated thoughts about self-worth. I'm so important to the church. The church couldn't function without me. And this, you see, we don't say those things. That arrogance comes through if you're not careful.
Amen. That's right.
Right? Pout because you can't do this thing, or pout because you were overlooked, or whatever. Right? And so, no exaggerated thoughts of self-worth. As we look back at the fact that Christ has brought us into this body and joined us to each other, we must value diversity, right? In other words, I must value the fact that you are different and not try to make you like me, right? He gives the analogy of the body. You know, I saw this movie. I forgot what it was. It was fictitious, but this woman had hands on her hands and hands on her feet, you know, and it's real awkward trying to see somebody try to run with hands on their feet, okay? But see, that's the same thing, is that why would you want to try to make your feet hands? Okay. The feet serve their own purpose, right? And you appreciate your feet when there's a problem, right? Mm-hmm. When they're hurting, when you've got a problem with your toe or your arch or something, right? You appreciate that. That was a good foot. I didn't appreciate it when it was good. That's the whole idea. We need to appreciate diversity, right? Value it, but also value unity.
Amen.
Is that God has made us one. We're different, but we're one. We work together.
Amen.
Got it? Mm-hmm. So those are the things that we must remember from last week. And remember, we're talking about right thinking that leads to right service. And that's what we're doing these 2 or 3 weeks. We got to make sure we think right before we start talking about doing. We're going to get to doing, but doing comes as a result of thinking. If you're not thinking right, you've seen it. You try to train people to do something and their thinking is bad. You've got a messed up deal going on a job, wherever you are, right? And all of us know that experience. So these are the things that we looked at last week. Today, as we take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to point out something to you. I know some of us are alarmed about the problems in the church today.
But, and some of you know this, but I want to make sure that everybody understands, all right? So you be patient as I work through these things for everybody. This church in Corinth had some major problems. You think churches today have problems? These churches in the first century had the same kind, and some problems are even worse, right? They were still God's people, okay? And that's what we got to remember. People think they need to abandon the church because there's problems. There is no plan B. Jesus had only one plan, that's the church, right?
That's right.
This church in Corinth, if you go back and read the letter of Corinthians, they had divisions and factions, all right? People said, I follow this man, I follow Paul, I follow Apostle, you know? So you had all this favoritism and folks lining up under one leader or another, okay? That was just as real back then as it is today, okay? They had immaturity. You see that in chapter 3. Paul calls them children. You're infants. You're arguing, you're striving, you're jealous of each other. And you see that today. People think they're grown, they're mature, they're big time. They're just like little children, arguing and fussing, jealous about this thing and that thing, and where you sit, this pew, and all of that kind of thing. The same kind of thing was happening in the first century. Immaturity. Arrogance in verse 4. People, again, they puffed up. They think they know something. You see it today, right? They think they know the Bible. They think they know what this means and that means. They don't have to go to class. They don't have to study this. Arrogance was just as real back then. Sexual immorality. If you read 1 Corinthians, you know this was a major problem. You got a son sleeping with his stepmom, okay? And in the church. And the church knew it. And the church accepted it. That was Paul's issue. What's wrong with you all? You see, have you lowered your standards that much? Okay, it's happening today. Pastors are doing it. The church accepts it as I won't call it normal, but it's acceptable. You think of it. I mean, it's not, the world even frowns on that, but it's acceptable in the church. So what's going on there? Lawsuits. Christians suing each other because I want what you got. And if I can't get it my way, I'll go take it to a judge. And you think of how sad that looks. And you have it right today. Churches in court. You know, churches suing the pastor. All kinds of things, right? Marriage problems. It was a problem then. It's a problem now. Problems with court irreconcilable differences. Married folks couldn't get along. Yet divorcees that didn't know what they were going to do, and single people trying to make decisions about whether they should get married or not. And temptation. It's the same problem. You see, there's nothing new under the sun. Amen. for people or churches. Idolatry in chapters 8 and 10, and then this is the thing I want you to be aware of. Many of their problems surfaced when they came together for worship service. That's what chapters 11, 12, 13, 14 is about. It shows you that their biggest problems came when they tried to come together to worship.
Amen.
It was a mess. This church was in turmoil. But it was God's church. And he didn't give up on it. That's the reason Paul was writing to them. You got it?
Amen.
And we're going to learn from them. Because we don't want to what? Repeat these same problems. We good?
Yes.
All right. So, today, then, as I said, we're still talking about right thinking that leads to right service. I've kind of unpacked these seven verses with these two main themes. The first theme we're going to look at is thinking about who and what is spiritual. Because us, like them, think we know. We think we already got it figured out. And you remember what the Bible says, take heed when you think you what? Stand, lest you fall. And so we're going to look at we're going to think about together who and what is spiritual in the first three verses. And then secondly, we're going to think about unity and diversity. All right? So let's dive in. We'll spend a few minutes here, and we'll be done for today. You ready? All right, let's move forward. Okay, first of all then, look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." Now, if you've got a study Bible or a Bible that gives you information, with the word spiritual or the word gifts, it'll tell you that's not in the original text. The original text simply says spiritual, okay? And so the question is he talking about spiritual things or spiritual people? You see, that's the reason I said, who and what is spiritual? It can be both, all right? Because that's the issue. You don't have spiritual things just happening in isolation. Spiritual things come from people who think they are what? Spiritual, okay? And so you got to be able to discern if the person is spiritual and if what they're doing is spiritual. You got it? Because if the person isn't credible, you need to question what they're doing. That's the reason the Bible says you inspect what? What is it that the Christian is to inspect in people's lives? Fruit. You look at the fruit of their life. Not what they're saying. All people can talk a good talk, but you need to look at how they live.
Amen.
That'll tell you what's going on, you see. Go back and look at how Creflo lives and how Fred Price and Joyce Meyer and all. Look at how they live. Mm-hmm. That'll tell you something about what they teach. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, and I'm not, you understand, I'm not picking on folks. I'm saying to you, you need to look at more than just what appears to be. That's
Amen.
The point.
Amen.
Okay? Don't look at these crusades and say, this must be spiritual. Let me say it another way. This must be from God. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that's his point. That was happening in Corinth and it's happening today. So, he says, now concerning, I'm going to reword it, things that are spiritual, either spiritual things or spiritual people, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. So the point is, Christians can be uninformed. He called them what? Brothers. That means that they are Christians. Christians can be uninformed. What does that mean? Christians can be lacking in knowledge and insight while they think they know who and what is spiritual. And we know that. If you're going to be honest, we've all experienced times when we thought we had something or somebody figured out. They had a good game for a long time. Is it Ted Haggard? Is that the guy's name that was over the Southern Baptist? Or you remember that just a little while back? He's caught with this homosexual. He caught with this relationship with this homosexual. I mean, this is the guy over the conservative Southern Baptist. I mean, probably the biggest church in the president of the Southern Baptist. I don't remember what he was, but he got caught. Right? And then he tried to lie and weasel out evidence, and there was some drugs and all that kind of thing involved, okay? You see, so you have to look at the life, not just what they're saying. You gotta get behind the scene. Right? You gotta get behind the scene. So we can be lacking in knowledge and insight. We assume that we know people. We assume that we know what's right. We assume we know what's going on. But God does not want any Christian to remain uninformed or deceived. He doesn't want that for us. Now, we find ourselves there, but God says, don't stay there. Okay? I didn't know what was going on with Ted Hacker. I wasn't keeping up with him. I wasn't following him. I wasn't reading his material. But I assumed he was all right, too. Because there wasn't anything intuitively obvious. But if I'm going to read it, if I'm going to study his material, I'm going to learn something about him.
Amen.
Same thing about this real popular preacher, Shepherd. Remember this real popular, was it?
Yeah.
Pastor Shepherd? They didn't bring him here to St. Louis.
Yeah.
A very popular black preacher.
Uh-huh.
Conservative. Right? And found out all kind of mess was going on in his life. Okay? So God wants us to be honest and admit that we need help in understanding these things. Okay? That's what Paul is saying here. God does not want Christians to remain uninformed. You may be there, but you don't have to stay there.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Secondly, look at verse 2. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Christians must remember, now you say with me on this one, that we made errors in the past when we felt like we were right. Mm-hmm. And I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. I know you can relate to this.
Yes.
He's particularly talking about when we were unsaved. And when we were unsaved, for sure, we thought we knew what was going on. There was nobody slicker than us. There was nobody that could get over. We could get over on people, but nobody. I'm too slick to let somebody get over on me. Felt like we could read people, right?
Yes.
You just know what's going on with me. That's his point. And he said, you need to remember that just like you didn't know everything then, you don't know everything what?
Now.
Right? Remember that we made errors in the past. That Proverbs 21, every man is right in his own eyes. And every way of man is right in his own eyes. That's the way we were. That's the way all people are. Everybody justifies where they are because of what they know. You see? I think they know. That's right. They feel like, that's the point. You feel like you got it. You feel like you got it. And so his point is that be careful when you're being led by your feelings and your emotions. They got us in trouble in the what? In the past, and they'll get you in trouble now. We must remember so that we are not led into error again. Verse 3. Yeah, verse 3 says, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. What's the point? The point is, the fact that someone says God told them to say or do something does not mean it's true. The fact that somebody comes to the church and says, God sent me, does not mean that what? I'm coming by Christian experience. That does not mean that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
I served this way at this church over here, and I was a this and a that. And that doesn't mean that you're still true. Jesus clearly says it. People will, wolves will come to the church and what?
Sheep.
Right? And so, turn to 1 John 4, 1. 1 John 4, 1 warns us about people that claim something is of the Spirit. Just because somebody claims something is of the Spirit does not mean it's true. 1 John 4, 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God.
Amen.
For many false prophets have gone out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Test it. Test me. Test anybody you listen to. Test it. If it doesn't match the word, then you have no reason to believe it.
Amen.
None.
Amen.
If what I tell you doesn't, that's the reason I want to tell you where I'm coming from. You need to go back and check it out.
Amen.
Check it out. Don't trust me just because you say I trust him. Trust God, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your feelings toward a man or a woman.
That's right.
Get you in trouble every time. Spirits, and here's something that I want all of you to, and you really need to be paid. These first three verses are really important for thinking, Christians. They're really important for thinking. Spiritually, let me read this sentence that I wrote. Spiritually inspired speaking is no guarantee that it came from the Holy Spirit. A person can be led by a spirit and not the Holy Spirit.
You remember the Bible gives a scenario when the sons of God were coming up before God, and the wicked one was right there, and he said, "I'll go down. I'll be a lying spirit. That I'll go down and deceive any that had this scenario going on where decisions were trying to be made. I think about military battle. So he said, "I'll go down and be a lying spirit. I'll deceive them." Do you think of that? And we don't have to go way back in the Old Testament. It happens all the time. We got friends, we got relatives that are deceived by a lying spirit, and they think they're right.
That's right.
Just because it feels. Let me show you something.
Can you find Acts 16? Turn to Acts 16. So don't you look at these crusades all of these healing programs, don't you? Just because somebody gets help, that doesn't mean that it's of God, right? I mean, you saw when Moses came and worked the miracles from God, you saw the magicians and those soothsayers, they did the same thing.
Amen. That's right.
There's magic, there's wicked power going on. The book of Revelation talks about how Satan has the power to deceive people.
Amen.
Even with what appears to be miracles. He can do supernatural things. But for deceptive purposes, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Acts 16, you got Acts 16?
Mm-hmm.
Look at verse 16. You got Acts 16, 16? As we were going to the place of prayer. Now, you notice this. Paul and Silas are headed to pray, right? We were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination. And brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. Now look at this. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." Is that true?
Yes.
Absolutely. But it wasn't from God.
Mm-hmm.
You see? It wasn't from God. Just because it's true doesn't mean that God is doing it or saying it. And you notice what happened. And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. Got it? So you can't just be deceived by what a person says. And, of course, you know, Paul is getting that speaking in tongues and these kind of things right here. Now, I'm not going to get into that right now, but I'm telling all of you all, you cannot follow what you feel when it comes to tongues.
Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Thank you.
Just because it feels right and it sounds good, where do you get that from? The Bible says don't trust that. Don't trust that. Don't trust your feeling. Don't trust how it sounds. Trust in who? The Lord. Trust in the Lord. Now this is important because we're learning to think about who and what is spiritual. And there's a lot being claimed as being, and when I say spiritual, I mean of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There's a lot being claimed today to be of the Holy Spirit that's not. By big time, major, well-known people. See, that God's not impressed with that, but by how big time you are. You remember, Jesus didn't come and rally thousands and thousands of people. When Jesus left here, he had what? 120 followers. Just a few hundred people. And think about that. But they were faithful.
Amen.
They had thousands and thousands that came, but they didn't want the real deal.
Amen. That's right.
I'm telling y'all, we got to think.
Amen.
We got to think. You ready? You with me so far?
Mm-hmm.
So, the bottom line is this. Did I write that up there? Yeah. Bottom line is this.
Their lives must be consistent with their words. Okay? That's what James 1:25 says. They need to be doers. You need to make sure they're doers of the word. Not just talkers, but they actually live what they say they believe.
Amen.
Right? That's Jesus' point. You can't be in Matthew 7. Don't deceive yourself. If your life doesn't demonstrate that you belong to Jesus, you're being deceived. Okay. That's what you need to be looking for. Which means you're going to have to take some time to know these. You know, before you start following people, you need to take some time and find out what's going on with them. That takes work. That's the point. Don't follow your feelings. You need to know. You need to know. And if the Spirit of God is giving you a check, you need to listen to him. You know how it is sometimes? You don't know what it is. You're just uneasy. You ever had that? This is something that makes you uneasy. There's a reason for that. The Holy Spirit takes care of us.
Amen.
He warns us if we'll listen.
Amen.
And then finally, the last major thing I want us to think about is unity in diversity. Okay, let's get back over to 1 Corinthians 12. You get back over there. And so verse 4 says, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Amen. These gifts he's talking about are grace gifts, okay? Or they're gifts of grace. You remember we talked about that? A gift is a special ability that God gives to a Christian, okay? He gives you special ability because you need to do something special in the body of Christ, okay? It doesn't mean just because you majored in accounting, he wants you to come into the church and handle the books, okay? Or because you were a vocalist that you need to come into the church and sing.
Yes.
That's not the issue. He gives special ability. That you know that God, this ministry that I'm involved in, God is at work in me. This is not natural. I wasn't born with this. You see? Okay, so there are varieties of special gifts and varieties of these grace gifts. And that means that they're not earned, right? God didn't save me and call me to preach because I'm an electrical engineer. It had nothing to do with it. He didn't care what school I went to. He didn't even care if I went to school. That's right. That's a problem they had with the disciples, the first apostles.
Mm-hmm.
They were what? Uneducated and ignorant men. So how can you teach me? How can an ignorant man teach an educated man? You see, that's the problem they had. So God is not looking at our natural credentials.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't look at outward appearance. What? He looks at the heart. If the heart is right, he can make you serve. He can equip you to do what you were not. That was Moses' issue, wasn't it? Lord, you want me to go? I'm not a good speaker. I stutter. I've got problems with my tongue. That ain't my concern. Who do you think made what? The tongue.
Amen.
All right. Then
you
know what he's saying?
Amen.
So if I made your tongue and I tell you to speak, you need to what?
Speak.
But you see, he let his fear overcome him and God finally sent Aaron to do it. He just wouldn't believe. All right. So there are varieties of these special abilities given to individual believers. What's his point? All of it comes from the Holy Spirit to produce unity. Verse 5. Got verse 5? Look at that. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. What's a ministry? A ministry is simply a way to serve God and his people. That's all a ministry is. It's a way to serve. You know, don't think of a ministry as some glamorous thing. It's you figure out in the body, this is something that needs to be done, and you do it. That's ministry. That's all it is. It's a way to serve God and his people. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
And so what this verse says is there are varieties of ways to serve God and his people, but all of these ways to serve come from the same Lord to produce unity. Look at verse 6. And there are varieties of activities,
but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. And so, thirdly, the effect, you follow me here. So God gives the Christian special abilities. We call those spiritual gifts, okay? And then he says, I'm going to show you the way to use your gift in that local church. We call that ministry. So God gives special ability, and he shows you ways to use it, and then he produces supernatural results. You see how it works? God gives the gifts. God gives the ministry of the way to serve, and then God gives supernatural results. You got it? So that there's no reason to have pride and arrogance. You get it? You know, why? Where's the arrogance coming from? Who gave the gift? God. Who gave the ministry? Who gave the result? So there's no reason for us to run around thinking that we're all that.
Amen.
That was his point back in Romans, right? Don't think more highly of yourself than what? You ought to think. Anything good in us came from God. I think you're getting this, right?
Yes.
So, then finally in verse 7, you got verse 7? He says, to each one, now this is a very important verse here too. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It begins, now look at your Bible. Hopefully it says the same thing. My Bible begins with to each. Hopefully yours says something like that. Each one or each individual or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So God is emphasizing here that every individual believer is equipped. No exception. If you're a Christian, you've been equipped. If you are a Christian, you've been equipped. If you are a Christian, you've been equipped. No exception. You've already been given the special ability. If you are not using it, whose fault is that?
Yours.
Because God has, the same God who gives you the special ability gives you a way to use it. If your eyes are open, if you're not sitting around thinking about, that's too low, I can't do that, I know that ain't for me. If you've got that kind of attitude, then you haven't presented your body as a what? Living sacrifice. If you present your body as a living sacrifice, this God that gave you the special ability says, this is what I want you to do. What do you say?
Amen.
Yes, Lord. That's the reason you may be missing out on all of the supernatural results. You're out flopping around trying to do what you want to do. I like this ministry. I like that. What does that mean? You lean into what? Your own understanding. You get it?
Yeah.
Every individual has been equipped. Now, the word manifestation means to reveal, right? Or to make known. Now, this is important. The Holy Spirit, what is he doing? You see what he says? To each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is making known, or he's revealing something about who? Himself. He's revealing something about himself through these spiritual gifts. Now I'm telling you, you need to think, you follow this now. The Holy Spirit gives you power. And then he gives you ministry. And then he causes you to work supernatural results. And for people to say, praise who? The Lord. He's revealing something about himself through who? You and me. This is tremendous. That's the reason we are called the body of Christ.
Amen.
Now, I hope you're getting this. He's revealing something about himself through individual body members and through us together.
Amen.
What is he revealing? He's revealing this is the way God loves. This is the way God takes care of the poor. You see, this is the way God has compassion on somebody who's been hurt.
This is the way God protects somebody who's in a really, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Somebody's in a bad situation in their home. This is the way God moves in there and helps them and protects that wife that's being abused or whatever. This is the way God, you see, has compassion and cares. This is also the way God disciplines. When somebody is stubborn and won't change, just like 1 Corinthians 5, Paul said, get that man out of there. You know better than that. If he won't change, if he won't stop having sex with his stepmother, you know that man has no business in your church.
Amen.
That's the way God is. You see, the church is to demonstrate the character of God. Right?
Amen.
Yes, we are. The manifestation, you notice what he says at the end? Given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So this manifestation of the Holy Spirit is for the benefit of everybody. See? So you don't go home and hide, you know, your special gift. You know, you use it for your special people. No, that's not the way God works. Mm-hmm. God says, I want you to use it for the whole body. Because I got the whole body. You see, again, it would be like your hand that says, I'm only going to feed... I'm going to feed you on off days, or I'm going to feed you on every third day or whatever, just because that's what I like. Well, you know, the whole body needs the hand to work for the benefit of the body. You may I don't know enough about biology, but you know, let's suppose that you got a body part that just doesn't need nutrition for 2 or 3 days. Well, but you got other body parts that need nutrition every day. So you can't say, I'm going to take care of it. I don't know, liver, whatever it is. It might just need some nourishment, you see, every 2 or 3 days. That's the point. The special ability that God gives is for the benefit of all. You don't just pick out certain ones. You got to think about everybody.
Amen.
When you use your spiritual gifts.
Amen.
You got it?
Amen.
So, then... as we try to wrap this up, I want you to think about this. You know, like we're here in Philip's classroom. And you can think about this. A good teacher invests something special in the student. Right? A good teacher knows that if they really care about the student, I'm going to give them what they need. The student may not even know they need it, but I'm going to spend enough time with them because a good teacher observes the student and they see where they're weak.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Philip's case. I mean, a person may think they're a great singer, but he's listening. He sees where they're missing. They break up when they hit this range or whatever. And so he says, I'm going to work with you on this. See, a good teacher invests in their student. Or a coach will invest in the player. They see a player with potential. Now, this player thinks that they're great. They think they're the greatest thing that ever happened to basketball, football, whatever. But the coach realized you got some weaknesses here. And so the coach invests time with line drills or invests time with what's special. So they want you to grow. They want you to improve.
Amen.
Or business, whoever. If somebody is wants to bring you on, they're going to invest some of their talents in you. One last example: a supervisor, right? A supervisor looks at a subordinate, and they realize that they're fresh out of college. They think they know everything. You know, as soon as they come out of college, they can fix the whole world, they can fix the company. But the supervisor recognizes that there's some weaknesses. You studied this in school, but that's not the way it really works.
Mm-hmm.
So that supervisor will spend time, invest time, because that supervisor knows that if I develop this employee, who's that going to help? It's going to help the benefit supervisor. That's right. And here's the point. Because eventually... that student reflects on who? On the teacher. Eventually, that player reflects on who? The coach. Eventually, that subordinate reflects on the supervisor. you reveal some of that teacher's character. You reveal some of that coach's character. You reveal some of that supervisor's character. That's what I'm saying to you. When God invests in us and we serve Him, we reveal some of God's character.
Amen.
All right? As we minister our spiritual gifts in the body of Christ, we reveal something about the Holy Spirit and our great God. He has invested us in us. He's invested His life in us, right? He's invested His character in us. He's invested His power, His light, and His love in us. So then, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, we must all exercise discernment when someone claims he or she is from God. We must all exercise discernment. We must all exercise discernment when someone says that they got a new vision. When somebody says they got a new understanding. When somebody says they are so much deeper than everybody else. We must all exercise discernment. Beware of following your feelings and your emotions. Right?
Amen.
That lead to disunity. Feelings and emotions can lead to disunity. That's not from God.
Amen.
God is not the author of confusion. God is the... Right? We looked at all these varieties of ministries, of gifts. These are from the same Lord. He produces what? Unity.
Amen.
We must all agree that new life, spiritual life, begins with the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but I want you to listen very carefully. The Holy Spirit must first regenerate you before you can believe. Mm-hmm. Jesus said it this way, you must be born what?
Again.
Mm-hmm. It's got to happen. You can't believe upon God if you haven't been born again. If you are dead, you can't believe. If you are deaf and dumb, spiritually, you can't believe. So the Holy Spirit must come and change you from the inside. Then Jesus said, you can't even see the kingdom of God until you've been born again. Once you can see, you say, oh, Jesus is the Savior. I need Him.
Amen. Amen.
You see? So you didn't choose Him.
Amen.
He chose you and He changed you, and then you chose Jesus.
Amen.
But you couldn't even choose Him if God didn't give you the faith. So he converted you, and then He puts faith in you and says, well, hey, you see, you need Jesus. Now you can believe on Him.
Amen.
That's how it happens. Mm-hmm. Then once He saved you, He brings you into the body. First of all, He joins you to Jesus. You become one with Jesus. And then He brings you into the universal body of Christ. He joins you to Abraham and Isaac and David and Paul and Peter and all the other saints. You become a part of the universal body of Christ. And then the Holy Spirit says you need to be in a local church.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
And I've already given you special ability to serve in that church.
Amen.
And I'm going to show you a ministry that's fit for you in that church. And I'm going to give you so much actual power that when you serve, you realize, I didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
All I did was just what God told me to do, and He just worked my
miracles.
Amen.
Amen.
You got it?
Mm-hmm.
And all, you see, it starts with the Holy Spirit. It starts with Him and ends with Him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Puts spiritual life in a sinner, and then you find yourself a new creation. any person is in Christ, he is a new creation, right?
Yes.
2 Corinthians 5:17. The Holy Spirit then indwells the believer to continually give spiritual life. You'll never be dead again. Isn't that good? You'll never be lost again. You'll never be blind again. Isn't that great?
Yes.
He puts, because He's constantly putting spiritual life in you. He comes to dwell in you. And He constantly feeds your soul with spiritual life.
Yes.
He gives you discernment that you need to help you make right decisions. See, he gives you power to love, power to resist sin, power to use your spiritual gifts. He gives us the spiritual gifts and the desire to serve. He gives us ministries and wonderful results. But you see, it all begins with God.
Amen.
And it's all of grace.
Amen.
So we must thank him.
God
is the one that deserves the thanks.
Mm-hmm.
God is the one that deserves the praise.
Yes.
God is the one that deserves our devotion.
Amen.
If you're not a Christian, then this new life awaits you. And it's good.
Amen.
If you're not a Christian, God says, all of this can be yours. All of this can be yours. You can have it today. The Holy Spirit is here right now.
Amen.
Ready to change someone from the inside. He's ready to from heaven, he's ready to give you power to be changed in your heart.
Amen.
And you can, he'll open your eyes, the eyes of your heart. You'll be able to see Jesus.
Amen.
And say, he is my Savior.
Amen.
He is my Lord.
Amen.
I want him.
Thank you.
Is it right now?
Yes.
He'll do that.
Amen.
For anyone
Amen.
Who does not know him. He'll do it right now. Jesus has come to save, and he'll save you now.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we thank you for the great grace that you've given that we might know you, love you, serve you. Thank you for your great gospel plan and your plan of redemption that you're working out through your people. Day by day. Help us, Lord, to think clearly about these matters of the kingdom. Help us to think clearly before we serve. Help us to think clearly before we get involved. Help us now, here in this little congregation, to know you, to love you, and to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.